Wow, UFC 239. This is D-Boy Blank. Back at you with the first time, with the first podcast. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to D-Boy Blank's podcast, the MMA show. Man, what a crazy event that was. Now, yeah, the main event was a little lackluster in a way, but I was so hyped up from the previous main card fights that, man, I was just as hyped up throughout those five rounds. There was nothing boring about it. I was already enough satiated that this was just a bonus, John Jones fighting at the very end. Let's be honest. Let's start with Ben Askren. First of all, I hope Ben Askren is going to be okay, because he did not look okay at all. I mean, he got stiffened up in the same position that he the minute the knee connected with his neck, he got stiffed up in that position, and he laid there like that for maybe, not sure, after Masvidal tapped him out, he was still in that stiff position. He might have been in that stiff position for a minute or two. I mean, they carried him out. I heard someone say that he was glossed over. He didn't know where he was at when he was being helped out of the cage, helped to go to the locker room, because he didn't even stay to get called a loser and see Masvidal get his hand raised. So he got hit real hard. I mean, that was, imagine all that speed going forward. I mean, Masvidal sprinted with that knee. That might have been a harder knee than what Yoel Romero hit Weidman with. Because, I mean, imagine all that forward momentum of about 182 pounds hit you with the precision, accuracy, and technique of a Masvidal. That was just incredible. Incredible. And especially those two shots that followed right after. They didn't do much because his body was so stiff. But man, those were also brutal. Those were like windmill shots right to the fucking dome. That was incredible. Just an incredible. The entire night, if all fights were duds, and that was the only exciting, the only thing that happened during that night would have been worth it. The entire card would have been worth it just for that one moment. And you know, and that's why we tune into MMA, because of circumstances that happen like this. I was so hyped up for Masvidal, and when that knee happened, that I wanted to tell the entire world what just happened. I just had the desire, like, everybody in the world should see this and have this feeling that I'm having, because that was one of the most exciting things that I have ever seen happen in an MMA fight. Fastest knockout ever within 5 seconds, and that might have been, it was a shorter than that, it might have been 3 seconds, because the ref couldn't jump in soon enough. That was bad. That was really bad. Okay, let's hope Ben Askren is okay. Dana White did say that Ben Askren passed all his tests. There's nothing strange going on in his body. But man, he got shut out. That was real bad. Okay, so let's just jump in back into the main event. Gosh, and just one touch up on Jorge Masvidal, man. The way he the post fight press conference, that was incredible. I mean, he's incredible. He's a natural. I mean, the guy's a special dude. There's nothing fake about him. He just does what he feels, how he feels. He kind of has that X factor like Conor McGregor did when he it was different. It's different. It's different than what Conor McGregor had, but it's the same type of factor that he, there's something about him that just special. His skills are special. His stand-up is special. He might be the best boxer alive right now. Best mixed martial arts boxer. Just the way he connects things, the way he evades things. His technique, how tight he is, how precise and accurate, how well he feels, and his handling of counters. He's just incredible. And I feel like I have to fucking take a shit right now, and I'm walking. Ugh, farts coming out. I can feel liquidy in my anus somewhere. Anyways. Okay, so let's get back to John Jones. So Jorge Masvidal is obviously the star of this event. And there was so much hype behind this match. The buzz was all about that event. Jorge Masvidal versus Ben Askren. That was the pinnacle. That's what everybody wanted to see, basically. And man, did we get our money's worth from that? That was beautiful. Okay. So John Jones winning by split decision. That might have been his first split decision win ever. Actually, I think he might have won a split decision against Gustafsson the first fight, but it might have been unanimous decision, but just a close fight. I mean, it was a close fight, but I've only seen the fight once. But I don't see how one of the judges gave it to Santos. The one thing interesting thing, Santos did hit him with more head kicks. So leg kicks. John Jones over the match. I mean, it was a pretty low volume fight. I mean, I think total maybe they both hit connected 100 times total together, put together, maybe 120. It's a fairly low volume fight. Santos edged him out in headshots, and then I think it was like 17 to 26, and then John Jones took both the leg kicks and the body shots. He landed more of those. Yeah, I mean, just from the numbers, it was a fairly close fight. But John Jones pressured the majority of the fight. If you just look at the fight, it does look like John Jones was more in control the entire fight than Santos was. I personally see it, John Jones probably edged Santos out 3-2 or 4-1. Yeah, it was a close fight. Just looking round by round, it was a close fight. There was never that it seemed John Jones was taking over, dominating, you know. It looks like John Jones was tentative. He was always ready for that blitz that might come from Santos. I mean, when Santos was blitzing on that only one leg, you know, it looked like he hurt his leg somewhere, either the first or second round, I remember, by kicking John's leg, and it looks like he hurt himself, and it got real bad in round five, I believe, round four and five, where he really literally could not put pressure on his leg, on his left leg, I think, and. Yeah, but John Jones never went in for the kill. He was pretty confident he was winning. He's pretty confident. And I felt like, too, but when the first judge called it for Santos, I was like, oh my God, this might be an upset. And it wouldn't have been the craziest upset in the world. But, I mean, I didn't judge the score so close to what I would see. That Santos could edge him out. I would have to go rewatch it and watch it round by round and score it. I'm sure Santos won. You could have gave him two rounds, maybe even three, because the fight was so close. Each round was kind of really quite close that I could looking back now, I could see giving it to Santos two or three rounds, possibly making a case for it. But just the fact that John Jones was pressuring the entire time and keeping Santos against the wall, It's just hard to give it just from the octagon control, because otherwise it was fairly even in other aspects. John Jones didn't seem to want to take him down, Santos down. He wasn't interested. He just wanted to keep standing and keep fighting Santos' game. It's not like he was tentative, but he got his shots when he could. But nothing that really seemed to hurt Santos. There was one moment where Santos got put down. John Jones kicked him to the chest, and it seemed like Santos slipped and against the cage, and John Jones attacked him, but nothing really happened, didn't hurt him. It was a good fight. It was an exciting fight. I was on my seat the entire time thinking, okay, this might, like, something might be coming, and then just nothing came. It seemed like John Jones could have turned it up in rounds 4 and 5 because Santos was limping really bad. He was literally fighting on one leg, especially that fifth round. John Jones could have turned it up more, but he ended up didn't. You know, he just feels confident. He's out there to win the fight, and he felt like he was winning the fight, so he just coasted that fifth round. But I didn't listen to John Jones' conference. Maybe he had his troubles on his own. I mean, his leg was chewed up from Santos. You could see his front leg, his quad and hamstring on the side. They were chewed up pretty bad. That's a good game plan against John Jones. You know, he does seem like he has these skinny legs, and I feel like people missed the opportunity to attack him. But John Jones is just so good. And you can see that kind of mitigated John Jones' kicking game. Santos hurt him with those leg kicks. It was a good close fight. And definitely did not seem like John Jones was invincible or anything. But whenever Santos did blitz, John Jones did perfectly, evading him his shots and moving out of the range and switching up and exiting on the side. It was just perfectly executed. Whenever Santos wanted to blitz and hit him, John Jones just wasn't there. There were a few times he got close, and I was like, oh, there's a few times John Jones, like, those shots coming heavy, and if you John Jones would have clipped them, that might have been over. But John Jones is just too good, too long, knows the range too well, and didn't get close. And John Jones wins by a split decision. Very close fight, you know. But Dana said that John Jones obviously won it. I think obviously on the eyes of a beholder, like when you're watching the fight, it looks like John Jones is dominating because he's pushing him back the entire fight against the fence, stalking him. But it was closer than people, I think, thought it was, than they perceived it to be. Okay, the co-main event, Holly Holm versus Amanda Nunes. Amanda Lioness Nunes, the champ Nunes. You know, it went about how I thought it should go. I mean, I don't think anybody, after that performance against Chris Cyborg, just beating Cyborg at her own game, incredible, that power. I just didn't see Holly having a chance. I know it's a different stylistic matchup, but I didn't think Holly had anything for Amanda Nunes besides the high kick. I think her boxing is just too weak. She doesn't have enough power behind those shots. She's too predictable. She's kind of like a robot when she fights there. While Amanda is just stalking, waiting for those opportunities. And she found her opportunity. She found her opportunity when she's kicking Amanda in her knee. Amanda, wha-pow, head kick. Kind of the same way the way Holly Holm knocked out Betch Kohea in that third round. She head kicked her and put her on her butt and then hit her with a few shots. It kind of went the same way. Amanda put down Holly Holm on her butt with a head kick. Holly Holm looked disoriented, and then boom, a few more shots to the head and it was over. And Amanda retains the champ, I think, in the first round. Just about when how I would have expected. But, you know, I thought she would probably box her out. But it was the head kick that did it. So, beautiful performance by Amanda Nunes. Nothing else to say here. She's the best. She's the best. She's the best female fighter of all time. There's no doubts about it. She beat all the greats. She beat Ronda Rousey convincingly, first round knockout. She beat Holly Holm, knockout. She beat Misha Tate, knockout, or maybe submission. She beat Holly Holm, knockout. Who else is there? Did I see Chris Cyborg, knockout. I mean, she's beaten everyone that we thought was a great female fighter. And there's really nothing left. There's that new girl at 145 that submitted, I don't even know her name. I think she's from Australia. She doesn't have that much experience. She beat Megan Anderson by submission. She's the only one, but she's fighting Cyborg next, so I guess we'll see how that fight goes. I mean, if that girl can beat Cyborg, then that might be a contender for Amanda Nunes next match at 145, but 135. I don't know who else is there that could compete with Amanda Nunes right now that would be ready. I don't know. I mean, she beat Shevchenko twice. I mean, and Shevchenko might have been her closest fights. You know, that just shows you how good Shevchenko is. She's just fucking good. She's going to dominate that 125-pound division for 10 years before a girl that looked up to Shevchenko comes up from 10 years old and challenges her. And that's always been the girl to beat, was Shevchenko. I don't see anybody challenging Shevchenko at 125. Oh, and funny thing, there was an interview a few days ago with Nina Ansaroff, Amanda Nunes' girlfriend, 115-pound, what was he? I don't know what 115-pound fucking is called. So, they talked about when Nina Ansaroff wins her belt at 115, they're going to meet at 125 and fight. I don't see that happening. That's probably a joke. Amanda Nunes, I don't think she has the capacity to drop to 125. That would fucking be stupid. And Nina Ansaroff would get her ass beat. Just like they do in bed, you know? Nina Ansaroff, that's why you play the bottom in the relationship. Not because you chose it. No, because Amanda chose it, okay? So, back off. Nice joke, though. Alright, so what was the third? That was, okay, then we discussed Ben Askren and Jorge Masvidal. Let's pray for Ben Askren. Hopefully he's okay. Man, but that was embarrassing. For Ben Askren, that was embarrassing. Whew, hope he retires. There's no reason to fight. You're not the best. You're not never close. That just shows you that the different, there's different levels of this game, and Jorge Masvidal is the different level. He's not the same guy that you fought, that you've been fighting in ONE Championship, Bellator, whatever. Time to retire, Ben. Luke Rockhold. Okay, let me say it this way. Jan Blachowicz versus Luke Rockhold. You know, that was my underdog pick, was Jan Blachowicz. You know, Luke Rockhold was super impressive. The way he put on muscle mass, I mean, he looked big. He looked bigger than Jan Blachowicz. For sure. For sure. But just something with Luke, it's not clicking. He kind of seems like deer in the headlights. See, from the beginning of the match, he's like, he didn't seem to want to be there, like very cocky. Just like he seemed like, yo, I have it in the bag. Just something about him that didn't seem right. His legs didn't seem right. Something about his legs were like, they were kind of pink. And his upper body was enormously big. And I kind of thought, you know, Luke Rockhold's gonna gas out in this fight. He's gonna gas out. It's just too big. He was very big in that fat fight. The first round was pretty close. I mean, Luke Rockhold was dangerous, fairly dangerous in the first round with those leg kicks. But the last second of the first round, Jan Blachowicz hit him with a head kick that put down Rockhold, and I think that was the beginning of the end. Obviously, that head kick when he stumbled him bad, and you can tell he just was not all there after that. And then he caught him with the left hook or something, put him on his ass, and then shut his lights off. Three more punches, and that last one really hurt, you could tell. Ooh, that really hit him right in the temple. What's next for Jan Blachowicz, huh? Jan Blachowicz. Well, who else is left up there? I mean, he lost to Santos, and Santos lost to Jones. I mean, I feel like Jan Blachowicz is probably in the next in line for the title shot. That's probably what they're going to make. Jan Blachowicz with John Jones. That's the next fight. That's probably what they're going to make next, is John Jones versus Jan Blachowicz. And definitely Jorge Masvidal fighting Usman next. That's going to be a fucking crazy fight. I feel like Usman is really, really big and really, really good. It's going to be hard for Jorge Masvidal to get in, to land his shots, I feel. Especially with Usman's game, with his wrestling pedigree. I think it's a very tough matchup for Jorge, especially that Usman does not get tired. He has a crazy wrestling game. His stand-up is getting better and better and better, and he's really, really good. Still not on the same level as Jorge Masvidal, but it's really, really good. It's such a good fight. I look forward to it. I don't even know who I would pick right now. I mean, Jorge might be a little too small against Usman. Usman is just a very big guy at 170. It's gonna be a good fight, but who knows? Covington fights Robbie Lawler if Kevin has to put on a crazy performance, and which he won't. He won't put on that type of performance against Robbie Lawler as Masvidal did against Ben Askren and Darren Till. That's not gonna happen. You're not gonna knock out Robbie Lawler. You're not gonna submit Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler is strong as fuck. Robbie's stand up is good as fuck. He's hard to take down. Dude, it's a hard, hard fight for Covington. The one thing he has over him is cardio. I mean, Covington's stand up is kind of trash. He wings punches like a crazy man. Not technical at all. He's kind of the opposite of Jorge Masvidal. I mean, if you go back and watch the fight between Colby Covington and Damian Maia, the way Covington swings his shots is just embarrassing almost. It's like he's just swinging from the hip, like windmill shots. They're just missing. Although he won that fight decisively, he definitely worn out Maia out. And the one thing that Covington has is cardio for days. But I don't see him getting exhausting Robbie Lawler. That's one of a lot of Robbie Lawler's strengths as well. But the way I see Covington winning is in a fairly boring fight, the way he did to Dos Anjos. Just putting him against the fence for 5 rounds, taking him down slowly, beating him up a little bit, holding him down and winning the fight. Otherwise, I don't see how Covington can win this fight. Otherwise, he's just gonna get knocked out. That's a good fight, man. That's a good fight. And what does Luke Rockhold do from now? You know, he just got knocked out real bad. He got knocked out the same way against Yoel Romero. Dude, it's time to hang it up, Luke. You're just not the same after that Bisping knockout. You're just not the same guy anymore. It's not the same. You don't seem the same. Your stand-up doesn't look the same. You seem kind of lazy and slow and unreactive. It's time to hang it up, Luke. As much as I hate to say it, because I loved watching Luke fight, and it's such a specimen. Or fuck it, go to heavyweight, man. Go to heavyweight. But otherwise, dude, just, it's over. I mean, if you can't compete with Jan, what is there else for you to do? You want to be a champ. You're the middleweight champ. Bisping changed you, you retire. And then Michael Chiesa versus Diego Sanchez. I'm very impressed by Diego Sanchez. He looked really good. Those grappling exchanges were very technical, very good. It was very exciting to watch. It's very rarely you get to see a high level. Not often you get to see high level scrambles like that happening for three rounds. It seemed like Chiesa had an upper hand in most of the exchanges, but Diego Sanchez was never like far behind. He was always trying to catch up and escape, but Chiesa was just always one step ahead of the game. Again, I was impressed by Diego Sanchez. I was a little disappointed by Michael Chiesa. I thought it was his fight to lose. He looked bigger than Diego Sanchez in there, way bigger. And I think it's a testament to how good. And you know what happened? I think the first round, I think all those scrambles, what Michael Chiesa was planning to do is he was planning to stand and beat up Diego Sanchez. But I think after the first round of scrambles, he got a little tired. He's like, fuck, I gotta wrestle him now, because I'm a little tired. My punches are not gonna hit the same. I don't have the same cleanliness to my punches and pop. So I think he just opted to go to his natural comfort zone, which is the ground game, wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And the fight went three rounds, and Michael Chiesa won this unanimous decision. And there's nothing to take away from Michael Chiesa. That was a very good performance, but it's just not what I thought it would be. I thought that he was going to be on another level against Diego Sanchez. But Diego Sanchez hung in there pretty good. It was a good fight. Who do you give Michael Chiesa next? I don't know. Oh, and the funny thing is he was giving an interview while Masvidal and Askren are going to fight. And during the middle of the interview, he saw in the glance of his eye that Askren got knocked the fuck out. And then he's like, ladies and gentlemen, the reporter from reporter Michael Chiesa, Ben Askren just got knocked the fuck out. And then he mentioned that, fuck, Jorge Masvidal needs a title shot. He needs the title shot next. And that's true. There's no one else up there right now. I mean, it'd be two dudes back to back with incredible knockouts. Jorge deserves a fucking title shot next. So that is your main card of UFC 239. And that's it. Catch me on the flippity flip. D-Boy Blank out.